All right, I was going to have to open the window. Test it out a little. Oh, we got that. Oh, close the window. Close the window. I didn't notice. Okay, so I was telling the guys before, Rabbi Elshin asked me, or informed me that I was speaking not too long ago. So I missed the meeting where they worked this out. So I said, what am I speaking about? You know, what do you want me to speak about? So he says, you. I said, what does that mean? I said, what's the topic? He said, it's a Yom Iyun for Talmud Torah. So I said, okay, so what aspect am I doing? He said, come on, you. So I'm looking at him like, is there something about me I don't know? Like, what's the me? What's my typecast? So of course I did know. I wanted to force him to say it so he'd leave me alone about it finally, but no, it didn't stop him. He told me, you're the guy, you work. And what's the place of learning in your life? You're the rest of us are Rebbeim. You're like a cardiologist. You're not a Rebbe. So we want that aspect. So, after I got over the insult, I said, okay, I can stay typecast for the moment. We'll see. So I'm going to talk about that. I am, because actually, I'll tell you the truth, and I mentioned this before. To me, of all the lofty, and this is obviously not a comment on any of the individuals, but of all the topics I see, Rabbi David's going to talk about the mitzvah, I don't know which ones you've heard already, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, maximalist, minimalist, it's very, very important, lofty material. Reichman, as we can hear throughout our shir, is talking about the Torah Lishma, and that's also a very lofty, very significant topic. And Rabbi Elshin about why learn Gemara, which that's the closest to mine. What do I mean by that? That's a practical one. I think everybody had asked that question to themselves at some point. Right? I know I did. Why learn Gemara? Why are they shoving Gemara down my throat so much? Morning, Mikiyas, afternoon, everything, all Gemara, right? That's a great topic. I wouldn't have minded that topic, but he took it for himself, what can I say? My topic, though, to tell you the truth, is the most important one, right? What can I say? Why do I say that? Because my topic is the one that I think a person most needs to take home with them and act out on for the rest of their lives. That's what I'm supposed to be transmitting to you. That was my job, to communicate to all of you and myself, because I'm always talking to myself with these things, what is the meaning and the significance of Talmud Torah in my real life? Not, like my mother used to say, still says, even to this day, so how's Disney World? And she's not talking about when I'm like going to California or Florida. She's talking about here in Yeshiva. She always considered the year in Eretz Yisrael, that's Disneyland. That's what we used to say to me. Now, we didn't share the attitude, obviously, on this topic. But what she meant was, it's not the real world. The real world is when you're back there in college and ultimately working and, 9 to 5, whatever you're doing. What's the deal then with Talmud Torah? That's my topic, and it's a great one. Before I get to it, I want to use it, because as I explored this, because, it was good for me. He made me think about it really, really seriously. And I discovered something. I discovered that it helped me answer something that has bothered me for a very long time. And I want to start with this. This is a story, a true story. And it has to do with the first page of this handout. About 10, 12 years ago, I don't even remember anymore, a friend of mine, who's a Rosh Yeshiva here in Eretz Yisrael, in one of the yeshivos, calls me up. I was at that time just a regular guy. I don't know if it was 9 to 5, it was more like 6 to 7, right, working. And I was a full-time doctor. I was like maybe giving shiurim on Shabbos or something like that. He calls me up and he says, you got to take a year off, come to Eretz Yisrael and come to the yeshiva and teach in our yeshiva. So, I don't want to, what are you crazy? I thought about it for a second. I ran to my wife. I said, wife, no, sorry, I was more polite than that. I said, Noam, what do you think? Her name's Naomi. I said, what do you think about this? I'll never forget, she did the first time, do you mind if I tap you on the head? It's very, very, very nice. Go lie down. That was basically her reaction. Not taking it seriously in the slightest. So, okay, one conversation, a second, a third, a fourth. He kept working on me, and he finally got me with the following argument. He said, I'll tell you why you should do it. Do it for your kids. Do it for your kids. How's it going to benefit my kids? He asked me, and I have, let's say, 5 sons and 2 daughters, and most of them are very serious students, right? And they were, even in elementary school, for whatever reason, they take after their mother. They definitely don't have them. And I thought they were learning something, and I thought they were learning a lot. So he says, tell me what your kids are learning, you know, in Limudei Kodesh. So I tell him, well, let's see. I think they learned the first parak of Mishnayos, right? My fourth grade or my sixth grade. I forgot the grade, right? Where is he? Y and J, whatever. You know, they learned like a parak of Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah or something like that. He goes, well, let me tell you what my equivalent age kid is learning. And he starts to, they're learning, you know, Shas and like, you know, unbelievable, right? A little bit of exaggeration. I'm only exaggerating a little. It's unbelievable the difference. You should know. So he got me. He got me. I said, wow, are you serious? And do they know it? They know it. So I said, all right, I'll work on my wife. I'm coming. So I ended up going, right? We took this pilot trip. It was a big deal, right? There was a lot of Siyata Dishmaya involved that I was able to do it. We took off, took all my kids out of school, the whole group, put them in over here. I put them into yeshiva where the emphasis was Limudei Kodesh. I said, forget secular studies for a year. We'll make it up, right? Just learn. Let's do it. And it went, Baruch Hashem, as you can see from the fact that I'm still here, it went great. It went unbelievable. They were unbelievably inspired. They were learning tremendously. It changed, I would say, for half of them, their lives, that year alone, just changed it. And I said, wow, this is like the most fantastic thing in the world. And I remember one particular incident, and this is what I'm really getting to, where I was picking up carpool of my sixth grader, right? Sixth grader. And I pick up this kid, one of the kids who's in the carpool, and he just gets on, he's walking on, you know how you guys walk with your phone sometimes? Hint, hint. This guy's walking with his Bava Metzia into the van, like this. Not taking his face out of it. Not, you know, and there's no texting or anything going on there. He's looking at his Gemara. And I'm going to my son, I go, what's with this guy, you know, social issues? You know, what's his problem? He's not taking his face out of the Gemara. That's not normal. He says, I'm going to stay away from that one, I'm telling you. So I go over, I couldn't help myself. I look, what's he learning? Perek HaZahav. Perek HaZahav. He's memorized, it's one of the hardest parakim in Shas, right? And he's in 6th or 7th grade, knowing it. And then I find out that this guy is like going to be the next Rabbi Kiva Eger. Unbelievable. This is what he's doing all the time. He's a masvid. I go to my wife, I go, wow, you know, you come to Eretz Yisrael, you put your kids in the right yeshiva, you get to be friends with Rabbi Kiva Eger, assuming he could ever get his head out of the Gemara. You could be friends with him, but unbelievable. We go back to the United States. We hem and haw. We decide we're making Aliyah. We finally, pilot trip's over. We come back. A few years later, I run into this kid. I couldn't believe my eyes. Drunk. Absolutely the furthest thing from Rabbi Kiva Eger. Messed up. Seriously messed up. And I'm like, is that really that kid? I couldn't believe it. His head was not in the Gemara. It was in like a toilet throwing up or something. He looked horrible. So I go to my son, who was his age, who had kept in touch with some of the friends. I said, what happened? So my brilliant son says to me, I think he went off to Derech. I said, well, gee, I'm glad that I got a smart one here. I said, I know he went off to Derech. What happened? How did he go off to Derech? What happened to this guy? You know, like, he was in Rocky Banger. How did he become this? I don't know. But I'll tell you what he does all day. So what does he do all day? He doesn't get up till afternoon. He sleeps through the whole morning. He then starts drinking, he gets drunk, and then he hangs out the rest of the time in these unsavory places. That's his day. I said, well, you're right, he's off the derech, for sure. A couple of years later, I run into his father. I was friendly with his father. His father is also chashava, talmid chacham, real Rosh Yeshiva, serious guy. And there's no way I'm going to bring up this kid, right, who everybody lauded as really the next Gadol Hador, who's now this mess. But I got to admit, I was dying to know. I was dying to know just because I'm human and I'm curious like anything, but also for practical, didactic reasons. I wanted to know how to prevent such an event. But the conversation went like this. So he says to me, how's the family? I never would have asked him that question first, right? Because it's an absolute no-brainer, don't be so stupid and ask this poor guy about his family. He goes to me, how's my family? So now the natural thing is, oh great, everybody's doing good, Baruch Hashem, how's your family? And he tells me, I know what you're thinking, he's back, and he's doing unbelievably well. So then the whole conversation opened up. He starts telling me about this kid. He's back. I don't know if he's Rabbi Akiva Eger, but he's back. He's normal. He's learning. He's healthy. He's not drunk anymore. He's doing everything good. So as we're talking, I said to him, tell me, what happened? How did, I want to know both parts. How did he get messed up? So he tells me the following story, and that's this Mar Makom on this page is the reason. He said, Avos to Rabbi Nassan. I go, whoa, he really didn't like learning Avos to Rabbi Nassan. I go, what do you mean Avos to Rabbi Nassan? He said, I got to tell you a story. When he was hitting puberty, he was becoming an adolescent, he was hitting around 12, 13, exactly the age he didn't remember. He came to me and he said, Abba, I need to talk to you, I want to talk to you. And I was busy, I was learning, so I put him off a couple of times. And then one day he comes to me and says, Abba, why is it the only thing you ever do with me is learn? You don't talk. I want to talk. So I thought, this is this rabbi telling me this. He says, I was an idiot. So I could say it. He was. You'll see in a minute why. He thought he was so smart, this Talmud Chacham. He said, I was going to teach him. We had this minhag at the Shabbos table. We learned Pirkei Avos, followed by Avos to Rabbi Nosa. And that was my conversation with my kids, right? So I'm going to chop him. I'm going to show him. He's asking me, why is it that I only learn with him? Why don't I schmooze with him? I'm going to show him. So everybody take a look at the front page. Here's what he learned with his son, looking for some mentoring, some conversation, some schmoozing, some help. He was having some kind of issue. He needed his father to talk to. So what did his father do? He reads the following. It says in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Omer, Shena shel shachris v'yayin shel tzahariyim v'sicha se'yeladim v'yeshivas bate knesios shel amei ha'aretz motzina sa'adam min ha'olam. What does this say? It says that sleeping too late in the morning, drinking wine, alcohol in the afternoon, sichas yeladim, speaking to children, and yeshivas bate knesios shel amei ha'aretz, which means hanging out in like not serious places, hanging out, you know, in, you know, like, where's a safe place I could say without offending anybody? Wherever. Hanging out in not serious places, all those things destroy a person. Motzinus Adam and Olam means, as bad as it gets, it destroys you as a person. So, here's where I thought I chopped him. You know, three out of the four are easy, right? What are three out of the four? You know, sleeping all morning, all of us do it from time to time, but that's a bad thing. If that's what you do, sleep all morning, you're messing up. Drinking in the afternoon is mess up number two. And hanging out all day in the bowling alley or whatever you're doing, unsavory place, nothing against bowling alley, right? But doing that kind of stuff, that stinks too. That's going to be bringing you, motzi is the person from the olam. But what's sichas yeladim, right? What's wrong with that? Talking to your kids? Is that what it means? So I thought pashut pshat was something else. I thought pashut pshat means talking like an idiot. Talking like a baby, right? Maybe it's something like that. But no, I showed them, Avos to Rabbi Nassim. Look what it says. Sichas Yeradim Ketzad. What is Sichas Yeradim referring to? Milamed shlo yiskaben adam b'shah shehu shona b'veso lasuach im ishto im banav ibnosav shekozman she'adam yoshe b'sof beso b'shona u'meisiach im banav u'bnei veso nimtza bato min ha-Torah she'emar lo yamosh sefer ha-Torah zem mipicha ve'yisa bo yom ha-Olam. What's pshat? So pashut pshat, right? And I'm going to not stick with this pshat, but here's what he was after. He's going to teach his kid, right? His kid wants to have a regular conversation. That's Bittul Torah. Because pshat and Avos to Rabbi Nosson is, you know what? If you're going home and you're learning, don't be careful. Don't speak to your kids and your wife. Oh, forget that, right? Don't talk to your wife because it's going to be Bittul Torah. It says, V'gisa bo yom ha'malai. So what do you think the reaction of that kid was? Here's a kid in some type of trouble. He's having some type of difficulty. He needs a father. He needs a father to speak to him. He needs somebody to speak to him. What does the idiot, as he correctly phrased himself, do? He says, well, I can't speak to you because that would be Bittul Torah. So I'm gonna show you it in print, and that's going to be a chop, and you're going to, you know what the kid chopped? Here's what he chopped. He said to himself, that pshat in Avos to Rabbi Nosson is so stupid, the rest of it must be stupid too. Therefore, whatever it says, I'm going to do the opposite. It says, don't sleep through the morning. I'm sleeping the whole morning. Don't drink in the afternoon. I'm going to drink my face off. Don't hang out in all the unsavory places. That's where I'm going to be. And that's the lesson that this brilliant father taught his kid. And that's what messed him up. Oh, my God. So at the end of the day, the father woke up, realized how stupid he had been, changed it, and everything, Baruch Hashem, happy ending, kid's great. But what's the problem? What's pshat here? How could Avos Rabbi Nosson say that? Is that really pshat at Avos Rabbi Nosson? Is he really telling me that I shouldn't talk to my kids and my wife? I should be learning, otherwise it's Bittul Torah? I personally find that impossible to accept. So we're going to now go back to our topic, but our topic should help us understand what I think is a better pshat in Avos Rabbi Nosson. So we'll come back to this. Now let's go to the topic. So the topic really is Torah. I forgot the clever title. What was the clever title again? Putting Torah into your life, or your life into Torah, whatever it is. We're talking about what should Torah mean to us practical people. Not those Rebbeim, right? Sorry, Rav Gordon, right? But, no, wait a second. Rav Gordon's like me, right? Rav Gordon's, he's got a real job too. So we, working people, what does Torah mean to us? Okay. So what does Torah mean to anybody? What's the significance of learning Torah? So it could be complicated, but I think it's very simple. You know, want to know why it's important to learn Torah? There's what I call the Rambam approach and the Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch approach. And this is very important, fundamental, easy to remember yisodos that should motivate you every single day to learn. The Rambam says the reason you should learn is because the reason you're here on earth is to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should have awe of Him. There should be Yiras Hashem and Ahava, love of God. You want to love God. You want to be in awe of Him. You want to connect to Him. The only way to do it, the only opening you have to develop any relationship with God is through Yediyas HaTorah. Yediyas HaTorah is going to be the avenue. It's going to be the window to knowing God. Okay, that's one take. Rav Hirsch says there's another reason you should learn. The other reason you should learn and learn Bi'iyun and learn with depth and meaning and feeling, which means don't just learn superficially. You got to get to the message. You got to get to everything you learned. You got to understand what it's telling you. Why? Because the purpose that we're here, aside from just developing a relationship with God, is God has given us a mission. What's that mission? To be Mesaken Olam, right? And as cliched as it sounds, what it means is something very, very genuine. What is that? It means you're going to build yourself into a really super-duper person. You want to perfect yourself. You want to be masaking yourself into somebody who is of the highest character, the most ethical, the most wonderful, dignified person. That's one thing you want to do. Then you want to also go beyond yourself and build your family and build your town, your people, the world. Right? There's only one way to do that. And that's through the wisdom and insights of the Torah. The Torah is going to tell us what is the best way to be, how to live our lives. Okay, davar pashut, davar pashut. Now the question is, putting that into practical work. So it's very interesting because, you know, the proof that we have this absolute responsibility to learn Torah as a means of achieving these two things is found in certain very specific Gemaras. I call them the death Gemaras. What are the death Gemaras, right? That's just for dramatic effect. The death Gemaras are the Gemaras that talk about, they try to scare us a little, right? For good reason. It's a great impetus. You know what a great impetus for becoming religious? You know the old, you know, there's no atheist in a foxhole idea? That's kind of what's going on here. Like, you know, one day there's going to be Din Mecheshbon. When we, Achar Me'eva Esrim, we're going to be standing before God. He's going to be checking out, so how do we do in life? Every single one of those Gemara has one common denominator. They all are focused on, did you learn? Did you learn is always going to be one of the questions, right? That's always got to be part of it. But it's interesting because sometimes it gets presented differently. So on the next page of the handout, I want you to see two Gemaras that do this, that present the idea of learning a little differently. There's the famous Gemara from Shabbos that says, Amar Rava, B'shah Sheh, Machnisin Adam Ledin. When you're up there, Achar Me'eva Esrim, and you're standing before God, He's going to ask you the following questions in the following order. Omrim lo nasata venatata be'emuna. What does that mean? What's the first question you get asked? Right, so call it business. Call it, let's broaden it out. How you spent most of your day, right? Because again, we're not rebbeim, unless, you know, please, somebody become a rebbe, that'd be great. Most of us are not going to be rebbeim. Most of us are not going to be involved in the base measures all day. Most of us are going to be out there doing things, right? We're going to be in the world. We're going to be spending most of our day working at something. So that's the first question. What's the second question? Were you koveya itim l'Torah? That's the second question. And then it goes on to ask you a few more questions, also to do with learning, depth of learning, etc. Okay? So here's presentation number one. Presentation number one seems to be very practical. It says, all right, what did you do most of your day? And in addition, were you koveya itim l'Torah? Right? So it sounds like, okay, so you worked, but did you also set aside some time to learn? Second Gemara from Sanhedrin. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Ein tchilas dino shel adam nidon, Ela al divrei Torah. What's different about this presentation? Right? What does this tell me is the first and foremost thing I'm going to be asked? Did I learn? So right away, the Rishonim Acharonim jump on this. Hey, isn't this a stira between these two Gemaras? The first Gemara is asking, was I a good guy in my business? Was I acting properly in my job? And then it gets to, was I koveya itim l'Torah? But this Gemara says, no! First, absolute, did you learn? So stira. So how do you answer this? So I'll give you one example. The Maharsha says it's talking about two different types of people, right? The Gemara that says learning first and foremost is talking about somebody who God knew and the person should have known is destined for great, could have been destined for greatness in learning. You know, he's a brilliant person, or he's able to sit and sit hours and learn. And that kind of guy, he's going to be asked, hey, did you do it? Did you do your destiny? And that's that Gemara. And the other Gemara, the Gemara from Shabbos that put business first, that's for the majority of people who are not that way. Majority of people are not going to be destined for absolute greatness in Torah, sitting and learning all day. The majority of people work and do other things, and that's why that's the Seder. Okay, that's the Marashah. That's one shot. I am very much interested in Tosfos. Tosfos asked the same question over here in Sanhedrin. He says, what's the deal? What's with this difference? He doesn't take the easy way out. Tosfos doesn't take the easy way out. He doesn't say it's two different people. It's everybody. And he says like this. Everybody's going to be asked the questions in the order of the Gemara and Shabbos. Everyone's going to be asked first, Nasata v'nasata be'emunah. How did you do during most of your day when you were working? Question two, were you koveya itim l'Torah? And, however, what's with the other Gemara? The truth of the matter is, even though you're being asked about how did you do most of the day in terms of your work, your din is going to be measured totally by the type of learning and the amount of learning you did. It's still going to be that way. So what's pshat? Anyone understand what Tosfos is getting at? It seems very strange. Right? Everyone hear what he's doing? He's saying, both are right. The order is work and all that stuff first, koveya itim l'Torah second, but the din really is, right, about the Torah. So it's like some kind of game. Like Hashem's going to ease me into my death because he's going to, you know, talk about work, which I'm like very comfortable with. I was, you know, good whatever I was doing. Torah, but the real din's about Torah, got you. No, that can't be pshat, right? We need to understand what's Tosfos saying in that answer. So I think what it gets to understand Tosfos, is to understand the concept of being koveya itim l'Torah. What exactly does that mean? We're supposed to be koveya itim l'Torah, right? Now, can I use you as an example? Do you mind being called upon? Let's say you're up in, you know, La'achar Me'er V'esrim. You're up there in Shemayim, and Hashem says to you, were you koveya itim l'Torah? What's the right answer?
Yes.
Everybody agree? Somebody doesn't agree? Because you know I'm setting something up, right? You're right. I am. That's not the right answer. It might be, but not according to Rashi and the Rambam. What do I mean by that? The right answer should have been, no, I wasn't koveya itim l'Torah. No. So, have I lost it? Yeah, it's possible. But the other possibility is I got something here. I want you to see pshat in terms of understanding the idea, because this is what it comes down to. We're all supposed to be koveya itim l'Torah. What on earth does that mean? So, if you look below on the page 2 over here, the answer is right there in Pirkei Avos. Shamai Omer, Asei Sarascha Kiva. Make your Torah count. What's pshat? If I know what that means, I'm going to know what it means for me to be koveya itim l'Torah. Whatever Shammai is getting at. Anyone know what the literal translation of those words is? Osei Torascha Kiva. Permanent, set, something like that, right? So it's obviously a little ambiguous. I'm not sure what it means. The word Kiva has multiple meanings. So I go to the Rishonim. Let's start with the Rambam. Listen to what the Rambam says. It means the following. Asei Talmud Torah ha-shorish v'ha-ika. V'kol sha'ar oskecha nimshachem acharav. Im nizdamen, nizdamen. Im lo nizdamen, lo nizdamen. Ve'ein nezek be'ibatzra. What the Rambam is saying is this is a value comment. It means make your Torah, in terms of your priorities, the most significant thing. Not necessarily quantitatively, but qualitatively. And what the Rambam is trying to tell us is the following. He knows that we need to work. He knows we might be working most of the hours of the day. Nevertheless, that's a necessity. Now that's how life is. You want to eat? Work. You want to have things, buy things, have money? You got to work. But your priority, the ikar, the esek that's the ikar, that's Talmud Torah. That's Torah. That's a beautiful idea. How does it manifest? How do we work this out? Because here's one of the etzes that we really should take to heart. If you turn the page for a moment, on top you have Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. I'm gonna paraphrase what he says because I want to make it on time this time, right? Instead of reading it. The basic idea that Rav Aaron says, beautiful idea. He says, what a person should realize is that you're going to work most of your day, so it's 9 to 5, you get home, 5 o'clock. What are you going to do? Yeah, have supper, right? That's the typical American family, right? And then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do? Well, you have your choice. You could relax, right? You sure want to, right? But then you say to yourself, well, what is keva? What is ikar? Relaxing with the TV? Relaxing with my computer? Or learning? If Torah is your priority, you're going to say, maybe that's what I'm going to do now. Or maybe you'll relax first for a few minutes, get your equilibrium, but you're doing it for the purpose of then strengthening yourself to spend your evening learning. So the Rambam is like setting the bar pretty high for us, right? The Rambam's pshat is, Asei Torah Sukeva means, don't just be Koveya Itim, but you should always make it the Ikar. That's why the answer still is, Hashem says, were you Koveya Itim? No, I wasn't Koveya Itim. I made it the most important thing every day. I made it the primary thing, and I always aspired to it. Okay, that's the Rambam. I'm not really interested in the Rambam. I'm much more interested in Rashi. Look what Rashi says. Go back to that, Gemara. Not that the Rambam is not something we should take to heart, by the way. The Rambam's pshat is something to live by. But Rashi's is the one I want to push. And Rashi's pshat is going to help me with my Avos to Rabbi Nosson, and it's going to help me with pshat and Tosos. Because Rashi says the following. Asei Tereska Kiva, Shelo Tehe Koveya Itim LeTorah, Ele Kol Hayom Teasena Alav Kiva. Wow. That even seems like more at first than the Rambam, right? What's he saying? Don't be Koveya. Right, by the way, you see why I was able to say the answer is no? He says it explicitly. He says, don't be Koveya Itim LeTorah. So if God asks, right, will you Koveya Itim, and you say no, you could say, well, Rashi told me not to, right? You got your taina now. Remember that. Rashi found right over here. So, but what is he saying to do instead? All day. Is he saying to learn all day? You think that's what pshat is? Could be. Could be that Rashi's saying, forget the job, forget the work, sit in base measures all day for the rest of your life. That is a possibility, but that wouldn't be what Rabbi Elsher would think that I would represent, right? Should I be insulted? I don't know. I'm not. Because I think I have a better pshat. I really do. Luthinis Daiti, I have a much better pshat. Turn the page on the bottom, back to that bottom now. Famous Gemara Brachos. Who here sat in the sukkah on Sukkot this year? Everybody. What did you do before you ate? Bracha. With your Koveya Suda, you made a bracha. Leisha Basukkah. Now, did you stay in the sukkah the whole day? No, you probably went out. But let's say then you went back in. What'd you do again? Another bracha. And every time you went in and out, you made another bracha. Comes along Tosa, they ask the following question. Why isn't Birchas HaTorah that way? How does it work by Birchas HaTorah? When do you make Birchas HaTorah? It's a Birchas HaMitzvah, according to Shitos, right? It's definitely one element of it is a Birchas HaMitzvah. You make it once in the morning, right? Well, are you learning? I know that probably you are, but let's just be honest with ourselves. Is everybody learning straight the entire day without interruption? I don't, right? I don't know too many. Yeah, there are some people, you know, that do that, right? Good for them. But most of us have many breaks, right? Do you make a bracha in each every time? Why not? How's it different than Sukkah? It's a famous Tosfos. The answer is, Torah is different. Ki la'olam lo miyayesh daito mimenu. What does that mean? Torah is never off our minds. Torah is always there, no matter what we're doing. you're let's see what's a typical Torah Shraga guy doing. So you have shir, then when you go, you have lunch. Is Torah on your mind during lunch? Maybe not shir, right? Unless it was a particularly good one, right? But self-serving, right? Is Torah on your mind when you're eating? Well, maybe it should be. Because what about when you go lie down for the break? Or if you're sleeping, it certainly won't be. That's the only hefsek legitimate for Birchas HaTorah. But let's say you're playing ball, intramuros. Is Torah on your mind? Maybe it should be. Maybe that's Pshat and Rashi. Turn the page. Listen to the following Avos de Rabbi Nosson. Asay Torah Kava. Ketzad. How do I do this? Milamed Shi'im Shoma Adam Dava Mipichochem the Beis Medrash. Al Yase Oso Arai. El Yase Oso Kava. If you hear some good Torah, what is good Torah? Good Torah could be, you know, intellectually stimulating. That's very important. But really good Torah is Torah that transforms you. It changes you. The truth is, every time you learn Torah, you should be looking for the message, looking for the elevation. Every bit of Torah is capable of doing it if you hit it right. Every eon has as a target a great message for life. And if you got it, the Torah gives you a tzivoy. Asei tarasel keva. Make it keva means permanently part of you. Internalize it. Have it change you. Make it you into a different person, a better person, a dignified person, an ethical person. Somebody, let's say, who's going to play D on the basketball court. That's not my example, believe it or not. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is the following example. And by the way, he was a pretty good ball player. I don't know if you know him. About 6'4 in his day. A little shorter now, but he was a great ball player. That's what they say. Like a hook shot, you know, those days. But he says, what's meant over here, I say to Rasul Kavah, means that even something as mundane and simple as playing basketball is la'olam lo miyayish daitu memeno. Torah is there. Because, and he gave that example of a guy who's shooting a lot, but they're not playing D. What do you think of a guy like that? Never, right? You would never do that, would you? Chas v'chalila. I heard you're pretty good at D. Right? Yeah. I mean, often, well, whatever. So, what do you say about a guy like that? So Ryan, I couldn't believe the language he used. He's selfish, he's a traitor. You know, he's very strong language. Oh, for God's sakes, the guy's just not playing D. You know, like, give him a break. But the message is unbelievable. Do you curse when you play ball? Nivel peh? What happens to you? Have you internalized your Torah? Have you made it kavah that even when you're doing that, it changes you? So Rav Aaron says, the idea of asei teras kavah means there are certain facets of our experience that we regard as being peripheral and temporal. We lose no sleep over the fact that they are nothing more than that. They may be pleasant at the time, but you do not expect them to become a permanent aspect of your being. You read the newspaper, you watch a good movie, you look at a nice scene, you're not internalizing it and saying, this is so choshev, this is so important, this is so transforming, I'm going to internalize it and it's going to change me as a person. Most things you don't do that with. But what is the Torah telling you to do with the good lessons of Torah? There are things to which a person is committed to the degree that he wants them to be part of him. When he has that kind of experience, he wants it to be internalized, not to remain ephemeral. This is what the Braisa tells us with regard to Torah. Asei Toratcha Kivah. See to it that it is ingrained and absorbed and becomes part of you. That's Rashi's pshat. Rashi's saying, Asei Toratcha Kivah, backed by Shammai, meaning your whole day has to be involved in Talmud Torah. How? But you're sitting and learning? Not at all. But the change from the learning you did, the good learning you did, that is manifest the entire day. That is happening and acting out in everything you do. So now, I am going to just make one point that on page 5, there is a famous thing. Anyone here ever make a siyum? So, you know the thing we say at the end of the siyum? This will sound a little familiar to you, right? It says, these are two Gemaras from Brachos. A Gemara on Daf Chav Ches says that Nechunya ben Hakana used to say tefillah when he came in and when he left. So part of his tefillah when he left was the following. Moda ani lefanecha Hashem elo kai she samta chalki mi yoshvei beis ha-medrash velo samta chalki mi yoshvei Kronos. What does that line mean? That's part of the scene, right? Thank God you made me someone who's a Yoshev Beis HaMedrash, but not a Yoshev Kronos. What is that referring to? Anyone know? What's the contrast here? I'm one of the learners. I'm not one of the regular working people. That's how we're going to understand it. That's Pshat. Shani mashkim v'hem mashkimim. I get up early, they get up early. Ani mashkim the divrei Torah. V'hem mashkimim l'dvarim b'teilim. I'm getting up for Torah, they're getting up for dvarim b'teilim. Ani amel v'hem amelim. Ani amel mekabel schar. I'm working hard and I get reward. They're working hard and they're not getting reward. Whoa. Ani ratz l'chaya olam haba. Whoa, is this now, we got to start all over a second? Whoa, what's going on here? This is very insulting. Especially to me and Rabbi Gordon, right? We're not Yoshev Beis HaMedrash. We worked our lives, right? So we're the Yoshev Kronos. So should we be insulted? Yeah, right? I think so. Until you see the next Gemara. The next Gemara is also in Brachos, and it says the following. Margala Bapunya de Rabbanim, de Yavne, right? This is a pearl from the rabbis of Yavne. Ani Beria v'chaderai Beria. I'm a human being with Bechira, and you are. Or let's use a different example. He won't mind. I'm a Beria, and Rabbi Rechman's a Beria, right? We're both individuals. Ani Malachti, well, this is what he'll say. Ani Malachti Ba'ir. I'm learning in the Beis Medrash. That's basically what that's referring to. Vehu, me, Malachto Basata. I'm like a regular farmer out working in the field. Ani Mashkim Lamachti. We each get up for our work. He gets up to work as a Rebbe, I get up to work as a cardiologist. Kishem Shihu Eino Miskadir Bimlachti, Kachani no Miskadir Bimlachto. He's happy doing what he's doing, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. Vishema Tamar Nimar Be Bahumami. And maybe he'll say, he's doing great, he's doing a lot, he's learning tremendously. And what am I doing? Right? Shaninu, we've already learned in the context in Menachos, Echad Amarbe ve'Echad Amamit u'Bilbet Shikavim Libol L'Shamayim. What's Pshat? No, he's no better than me, right? How could that be? He's learning all day. So the Pshat is given beautifully, again by Rav Aaron in a different essay. I just love this Pshat. He says the following. The Gemara in Bracha speaks of a Yoshev Beis HaMedrash and of a Yoshev Kronos. Those who dwell in the Beis HaMedrash and those who dwell at the street corners. What is a Yoshev Kronos exactly? It's this guy who hangs around, like that guy back, that other kid. He hangs around the candy store, the pub, or whatever current equivalent may be. He's defined by merely hanging around. He's a loafer. Here's the most important line. It is possible for a person to be seated in the Beis HaMedrash as a Yoshev Keren. And it is possible for a person working in a store or whatever other job to be the equivalent of a Yoshev Beis HaMedrash. What's Pshat? Isn't that great Pshat? That's a fantastic Pshat. Pshat now is, who are the Yoshev Beis HaMedrash? Not necessarily just the guy sitting and learning all day, but it's the guy who was making his Torah Kivah so that Talmud Torah is with him the whole day. When he's at his job, he's living that Torah. It's the equivalent as though he was sitting and learning Torah in the Beis HaMedrash. That's Pshat. It's a beautiful, beautiful Pshat. Now, final... Okay. Ending. Final. All right, guys, you don't really want to hear what happened with my new Pshat and Avos de Rabinasim, do you? Okay, good. So, how does this relate? How does this answer my big, major dilemma I had in the beginning, right? I don't like that chat. Who likes that chat, right? Don't talk to your kids. Don't talk to your wife. It's Bittul Torah. Oh, my God. Anyone like that chat? Okay. Chats like this. We've established the Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah now comes in two forms. There's the mitzvah of the simple, literal Talmud Torah. You sit and you're learning. Don't get the wrong message from me. That is incredibly important. I love to do it, and I do it as much as I possibly can, and you all should as well. But there's another form of Talmud Torah. There's another form of Osek B'Torah. And that is to have that Torah that you learn well change you and have you implement it into all the facets of your life. That's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. Okay, good. There is a famous, famous Gemara and Marma in Mishlei that says the following. The Gemara says that Moshe was a great, great person. What was one of the greatest things he did? When Klal Yisrael were involved in getting the gold and silver from the Egyptians, what was Moshe doing? Anyone know this pshat here? He was... What?
We gotta go.
Where are we going? The speaker?
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, the timing's okay.
He's teaching this
yeshiva. I'm hitting a punchline.
Punchline.
Can I have 2 minutes?
30 seconds?
Okay, quick, close the door, you're taking up my time. Make a long story short. Why was Moshe a great guy? Because you know what that Gemara says? Moshe was a great guy because he was busy with Yosef's bones, taking care of that, when the rest of them were going after money. And Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. What's the big Chachma Shlomo, the smartest man that ever lived? He said, if you got a choice between money and mitzvos, take the mitzvos. Anyone impressed with that statement? Is that really profound? Oh my God. Money or Chaye Olam? Take the Chaye Olam. Wow, dramatic. Give me a break. That's not the message. What's the real message? Rav Shimon Schwab comes up, beautiful pshat. He says like this. He says, wait a second. When they were going after the money, was that just for greed? Were they going after money because they wanted money? What were they doing? Who told them to go after the money? Hashem! It was a tzibur. It was a mitzvah. There were two mitzvahs here. One mitzvah was, take the money like we predicted back in the times, the Rechush Gadol, right? We're going to be Yotzei. Do that. You go get that money. That was one mitzvah. Moshe had that mitzvah too. A second mitzvah was, take care of Atzmos Yosef. Take care of the bones. What was the greatness of Moshe? He picked the right mitzvah. There's a time and a place for every mitzvah. And the chap of a great person is he knows when to pick the right one. So let's go back to Abbas Levi Nosson. What was going on in that shot over there? The message is, don't talk to your kids or your wife. Learn? Ridiculous. If that was the message, it would have said it this way. The case would have been, look, you're in the basement, just learning. Don't go home, because if you go home, you'll have to talk to your wife and your kids. That would have been that message. But what does it take a look, careful look? What does he say in Amos Rabbi Nassan? He says, if you're going home and you think you're going to learn and talk to your kids, you're making a big mistake. And you're going to nimsa batal, the same lashon that's used by the Gemara in Sota over here, if you take a look, for if you pick the wrong mitzvah. Because what's going on over there? What's the person supposed to do when he comes home after he's finished in the Beis Medrash? Or finish their work. He comes home and he's spending time with his kids and his wife. What's the right mitzvah? What's the mitzvah that shows you were osa terasa kavah? That you internalize what the Torah's message would be? To ignore your children, not talk to them, ignore your wife, and sit and learn selfishly? Adarabah. Talmud Torah in that setting, the right mitzvah to pick, the Atzmos Yosef, is then you go and you spend time with your wife and your child. That's pshat in Avos Rabbi Nosson. When you go home, lebeso, that's the emphasis. He emphasized, don't go home and think, I used to do this all the time. Eschata'ai ani maskir hayom. I almost messed up big time with my kids. I always was trying. I was working, so I needed to learn. So I would come home. I thought I was a real genius. I'm going to chop it. I'm going to learn at home, right? And that'll be good enough for the kids. Big mistake. That's not what you do. The mitzvah in the bayis is to talk to your kids, especially if they come to you and are asking. The mitzvah in the bayis is to talk to your wife. That's an expression of asa toras v'kavah. You internalize the Torah. That's the equivalent mitzvah, and in this case, that's the superior mitzvah. And that is the chab. The chab and the Torah means you should all remember, learn a lot, and when you learn, internalize it, let it change you, and affect everything you do.
How do you explain the language?